So we've been thinking about the topic of forgiveness these last few weeks. 3 weeks ago, we were exploring the wonder that God has made us alive in Christ. It's the universe's biggest drama, and it's the most life-changing power we will ever discover, that God, through Christ, forgives us and makes us brand new. And then we were thinking after that, we went to that episode which Luke records of the Pharisee, the self-righteous, morally upright, religious man who was actually trapped by his pride and really didn't think he needed Jesus. We were thinking how that kind of thinking we're good enough is so dangerous and makes us cold and unforgiving people. And then in that story, the contrast is with the so-called sinful woman, probably a sex worker, whose great temptation for her was to despair, thinking that God didn't have forgiveness for people exactly like her. And through her life, we saw the revolution of love which forgiveness brings. Then last week, as we went to Matthew 18, we were looking at the practical steps which we are called to take when we have problems with a fellow Christian, when they sin against us. And we saw how we need to work hard in obeying Jesus in order to restore relationships. But also we took courage, didn't we, at how the Holy Spirit is committed to helping us. And today in this final little series on forgiveness, we're thinking together about what it means to know freedom and to walk in it. Maybe where we can't get the resolutions we want in situations where we have been sinned against. Some of us, if we are honest, are struggling to forgive one another for things that have been said to or done to us. Maybe we're struggling to forgive old friends or colleagues or parents or children or other family members, including perhaps people we knew long ago. It could be anything from just ongoing and repeated acts of insensitivity which wound us to even historic criminal actions. Some of us this morning are carrying wounds inflicted through abuse and violence in relationships or incidents which took place maybe many, many years ago. And we struggle with feelings and we struggle with memories which are seared into us, and which we most likely will never forget. These things have shaped the way that we think and behave. They have really harmed us. And maybe those people who have harmed us aren't in our lives anymore. Or maybe for different reasons, we can't speak to them. Or maybe our deepest hurts were actually delivered to us by complete strangers. How do we deal with our pasts if we have been harmed? Peter says to us in verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 4, above all, love one another deeply, for love covers a multitude of sins. Now that's a word spoken really to the Christian community. He's giving this church with this wonderful letter all sorts of commands and encouragements and reassurances for living the Christian life together, especially when it's difficult and when it's costly. So the command to love one another is to get along by being radically loving in the Christian church. And it's a command to work out sincere love, love one another deeply. And that's a great verse for the everyday friction points of sharing life at close quarters. A few years ago, one of our children made an artistic picture out of that verse. And we all thought how appropriate that was for life in the family. We rub up against and annoy one another. And what's true in a biological family is certainly true in a church family too. And Peter is counseling us. And there's the encouragement in the verse that love covers a multitude of sins. And we need to explore really what that means. So the verse has different dimensions and works in different levels. The everyday bumping into one another, taking offense, and needing to love deeply and forgive. But the verse also goes to the deeper level and gives us a real pathway of freedom for the future as we learn to deal with the past according to the forgiveness which we have received in Christ. Because we have received that forgiveness and we're called to live it out in our new status as people who have been born again and who have received the Holy Spirit. So let's think about this verse. And here's the first thing which I want us to think on together. And it's this, that love empowers forgiving others. Love empowers forgiving others. Now, love is not the same as forgiveness. But forgiveness doesn't happen without love. Love motivates our decision of forgiveness. If you love someone who has sinned against you, you make the decision to forgive them. Hatred keeps them bound in your attitude of unforgiveness if you refuse to let go of what they've done. If you refuse to move on. And when you are refusing to forgive them from the heart, you actually want that person to be bound, at least in your attitude to them. And you will reflect that in your behavior towards them, even if your behavior is to retreat from them. And that's a very understandable human reaction, isn't it? We've been hurt by people. We instinctively want to hurt back, whether we're advancing into conflict with them or whether we are closing the door of our hearts. The Bible is realistic that the wounds in relationships go very, very deep indeed. And we instinctively don't want to forgive people. It seems like failure. To forgive somebody seems to us often to be saying something like, my hurts don't matter. What you did doesn't really matter. But actually, you're not saying that when you forgive somebody. You're actually saying, this did hurt me. You hurt me. But in that act of forgiveness, you're saying, I'm trusting that in all of this, the Lord is in charge. The Lord is good. He's the judge. And because I know he's forgiven my sins and opened his heart to me, I'm forgiving you and opening my heart to you. That is not defeat. That is certainly not weak, is it? But you know it needs love. Love, however hard it is, shares forgiveness. And you know that you can only forgive when God works a miracle in your heart. So, loving other people deeply as Jesus loves and forgives us means forgiving them. But then here's a question. How do you actually know if you've forgiven someone? Sometimes we do have that overflowing peace, that rush of surprising love to another person when we forgive them, but not always. Sometimes we've wrestled and we've prayed, we've cast ourselves on the Lord, we've made the decisions, maybe we've said the words, but we're just not that sure if we really have forgiven them. We still feel so conflicted. Our emotions are all over the place. We still replay words and scenes, sometimes over and over again. And this is after we said to a person, I forgive you. We've made that costly choice in our heart. So how do we know we have forgiven somebody? Well, here's just a couple of suggestions. Test them out in your life. I think what we're seeing in our attitudes and our emotions are great pointers to whether we have forgiven somebody. So think about your attitudes. Do you actually now wish that person well? If a phrase, something like rot in hell, well, it might not be on your lips, but if that phrase is in your heart, you're a long way from having forgiven them. if deep down you would actually like to see them humiliated or really suffer for what they did, then again, you've got a way to go. But if your attitude is such that you actually want to see them thrive, you pray for them and you pray blessings on their lives. You pray that they may experience perhaps God's love for the first time if they're not Christians, or if they are Christians, they may journey deeper into God's love. Can you pray that for the person who's done maybe the worst to you? You can. You should. And why should you? And why can you? Because you've done the worst to God. You have shut him out of your life. And he's still come to you in Christ with the costly, costly forgiveness which Christ purchased for you to save you. And the Holy Spirit is moment by moment pouring his grace into your life. God has chosen in love to forgive you. And we reach out to God in our desperate need. And we claim his forgiveness. And we beg him for his grace, that love might compel us to choose forgiveness towards others. So a change in attitude shows if we have forgiven, but also a change in emotion. As I said, forgiveness is a decision. It's not a feeling, but forgiveness will mean a change of feelings. Maybe not immediate. In fact, probably not immediate. It often takes us a long time to let go of the powerful feelings of anger or desolation we feel towards somebody who's hurt us. That outrage takes time to calm down. That might be months. It may be years. It may be many years indeed. But with forgiveness, in time will come an easing of old rage or other pain. The wound is healing by God's grace. Our emotions move on. Can I just make this brief point before we go on? Forgiving somebody doesn't necessarily mean that you want them back in the closest place in your life. We can be realistic. Sin causes ruptures. Relationships can be broken by sin. Healing may be complete, but healing often leaves deep pain, even where there is real forgiveness. So I wouldn't want anybody to put pressure on themselves saying, because I don't want that person as my closest friend, I haven't forgiven them. I don't think that's a burden the Lord wants you to carry. But you take your responsibility. Love and choose forgiveness. Let's move on as we consider this verse to my second point, which is this: forgiving others provides a route out of the past. So love empowers us to be forgiving towards others, and forgiving others actually provides a route out of the past where there has been sin and harm. We hear the scriptures, we hear verses like, forgive as the Lord forgave you, Colossians 2:13, or Ephesians 4:23, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So God has dealt with our past in Christ. How do we leave our past behind where there's been hurt? And as I guess we all know, it's very, very hard. We are wired, minds and bodies, to remember pain. Our brains are hypersensitized to remembering what happened at a traumatic moment in our lives. It's as if our minds have captured words and events and scenes, and we cannot forget them. And perhaps the slightest thing can bring them all rushing back. Though those things have happened very many years ago, perhaps. Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. One aspect of that word covers means love chooses not to remember a multitude of sins. That doesn't mean love pretends they didn't happen, or love tries to deny guilt and hurt. But we all know where there's been past relational upset, or we've been very badly hurt, what do we naturally do? We go back. We think. We uncover, we expose, we explore, we revisit, we rework, we replay. And here's the thing. We can find a strange comfort in revisiting even the very hard things. Because sometimes, even if we don't realize it, those memories become a refuge. And a refuge from the harder challenge of actually moving on. Here's the thing. We'd rather have the pain sometimes of the memories than the painful challenge of moving on from the memories to being the new people we're called to be in Christ. So when Peter says love covers a multitude of sins, he's not talking denial, but he's talking about a decision not to be controlled by the past. If you're controlled by the past, if you live in the past, if you let yourself get stuck with what has happened with people in your life, you'll be a bitter person. And you won't open yourself up to people. You will hold them at arm's length. And quite possibly you will hold the Lord himself in his comforting presence at arm's length too. I was thinking this week of three ladies that I used to be close friends with. I first knew them when they were in their 70s and 80s. And between them, I discovered they had a world of pain. They were all very deeply impacted, traumatized by events which had happened half a century before I knew them. One was left standing at the altar on her wedding day. Another was deserted by her husband and left to bring up her young son. Another discovered some years into her marriage that her husband was already married to somebody else. He was living a double life. And he likewise abandoned her and their son. Now, over the years, I had many conversations with each of them. And here's the thing. I never heard any of them speak a bitter word about the men who had devastated their lives. Why was that? Was it because they didn't still feel deep, deep pain? That pain was there decades on. Was it because they were in denial of what had happened? Not at all. But in Jesus Christ, they had learnt to choose forgiveness and to have a forgiving attitude to those men, not in any way trying to minimize the seriousness of their sin, but choosing to recognize that those men had made horrific, destructive decisions in their lives. And actually going back to them for those women and replaying and revisiting was not going to help them. They left those men and those terrible events with the Lord. And as much as they could, they had forgiven those men, each of whom had very much disappeared from their lives. Could we do that with the people who have hurt us? Even if we will not see their faces again, even if we don't know where they are, even if they've died, Could we say, Lord, I'm forgiving him, I'm forgiving her or them. I'm leaving them with you. I'm choosing as best I can in your Holy Spirit's help to cover that situation, that person. Please help me. Now, what I'm trying very hard to avoid this morning is digging up memories, if you have them, of very traumatic episodes in an unhelpful way. I've been praying that this sermon would be the Holy Spirit's gracious nudge to you to deal with some stuff. We are all the end product of our past, aren't we? And if our past has been difficult, we will need help trying to unscramble the thoughts and feelings and memory. We will need the Lord's help. And we may well need to extend forgiveness to people who have hurt us along the way. That may be conversations, if conversations can't be had. That's something we need to deal with the Lord. And I think with each other. None of us can live the Christian life on our own. We need the help of trusted friends, of experienced Christians. And sometimes we need professional help too. And there is no shame whatsoever in reaching out and getting qualified professional expertise if that is what we need. I'd like to say again this morning, reach out to those trusted Christian friends you believe the Lord has put in your life for good and speak to them. If you'd like to speak to one of the elders, one of the pastors, please do that in the sure knowledge that what you say will be said in confidence. If you need some more specialist help, then we happily make referrals as an eldership team to qualified Christian counselors. But let's none of us think that we can somehow outrun our past or ignore pain. No, let's, with the Lord's help, work out what it means to address and forgive people. And let's press on to know the freedom of forgiveness. And this is the last thing which I want us to look at. Forgiving others helps us to enjoy the Lord's freedom. It really does. Let me say that again. Forgiving others helps us to enjoy the Lord's freedom. We have been forgiven in Christ. We must be forgiving. It's not an option. It's the Lord's will. Straight after the passage we looked at last week in Matthew 18 comes a story, you may know it, of the so-called unmerciful servant. The guy in the workplace who had racked up this enormous debt he could not pay off against his boss. And his boss discovered it. And rather than slinging him in a debtor's jail or forcing him to work off the debt, the boss forgave him. The servant was absolutely bewildered and elated. But he went out, he found a colleague who owed him just a few pounds, and he half strangled him to death. What happened next? Well, let's just say it didn't end well for that employee. And Jesus is saying it won't end well for us if we have been forgiven the massive debt of our sin, but refuse to be unforgiving. We must embrace forgiveness. Friends, let's not this morning overlook the place and the power of forgiveness in moving on from deep pain. Too often as Christians, we don't actually like hearing about forgiveness because we get that that's going to mean that we have to be forgiving. And deep down, often we don't want to be forgiving. But forgiveness is God's unique gift to his people. He has forgiven us. That literally changes everything. And yet, When we struggle in our attitudes to other people and to the past, forgiveness, do you know, it's one of the very last things we sometimes think about. I recently read an excellent book by a psychiatrist on the impact of trauma on people, the way trauma attacks mind and body and soul for many years and sometimes in a lifelong way. It was a really great book. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend it to you. But it had a massive gap in it. There was no discussion anywhere of how trauma victims work through forgiveness towards their abusers. Nothing at all. And that glaring omission made me remember how uniquely Christian forgiveness is. We are living in a cultural moment which is deeply unforgiving. Fault finding, finger pointing, record keeping. And yet at the core of our faith is the forgiveness of God, which we are called to share towards other people. If we're going to know freedom for the future following Christ, we have to work at forgiveness. It's not an optional extra. Now, we know that we love to cling on to fear and rage and unforgiveness, and we know that forgiveness does feel like defeat. But the defeat is in unforgiveness. You see, unforgiving people lose the wonder of God's forgiveness in Christ. Of course they do. Because their lives are all about how they've been sinned against, how they've been wronged. And this consumes their lives, and it's no surprise they can't see that God has forgiven them. That's the great story of their lives. Now, they need to find their place in that story and discover how to minister that forgiveness to other people. So be very careful. Your past pains may be enormous, but work hard that they are not the story of your life. The story of your life is God's saving grace. That's the biggest reality, which will be unchanged for eternity. Bring that reality to your time-bound hurts and find the Holy Spirit's help to deal with them. Do remember, please, hurt people hurt others. That's a sad truth, and we cannot avoid it. If we won't be forgiving, if we are too hurt that we say we won't forgive, we will end up inflicting pain on others. We will lash out on others, or we will completely shut down from others, but either way, we will hurt them. No, forgiveness is not defeat. Forgiveness is the victory of God. The victory of God in our lives, and the victory of God working through us into the lives of other people. So forgiven people live in the wonder of God's forgiveness and in turn forgive others, covering many sins in their decision to love and to forgive in love. And forgiving people share life with others. They don't hurt them. They bring them life and hope. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that verse makes sense of our discussion of forgiveness, doesn't it? We have been set free by the Spirit bringing us to Jesus. We want to move to others with his Spirit, bringing the same forgiveness. It's hard. It's costly. We have to go deeply into God's grace. But it's transforming. And it's life-giving. And Jesus gets the glory. Lord God, Thank you for the wonder of your grace, which has come to this dark, unforgiving world, and which has come into our dark, guilty hearts. Thank you that Jesus died and rose to save sinners. Oh Lord, where we withhold forgiveness, we are so sorry. We repent of our cruelty. And we ask for help with our fearfulness and our self-righteousness. And Lord, we take a moment to remember again those people and places and situations of our deepest hurts and pain. And we pray that you would minister to us, showing us the steps we can take, confident that you're taking them with us and strengthening us in them. Teach us, Spirit of God, to love one another deeply and to cover those many sins with the miracle of your love. And we ask this for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.